It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I'm joined here by Gemma Kaneko.
What's up?
What's up with you?
You know, just hanging out on a Monday. Doing some podcasting.
Yeah, you know, we're
Doing this, you're doing the same thing. What a coincidence.
I know. Isn't that a coincidence? what a weird world we live in. Interestingly, I don't know if you know this, but we actually also have Michael Clare from our Los Angeles office on the phone. Hello, Michael.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Michael.
That was good. That was good.
Thank you.
That was a good Job impression.
How are you, Clare? How's it going?
Oh, it's good. It's good, you know. Brighton and Hope Albion game's lit. I assume all of our listeners are tuning into that. So
yeah.
I knew they would be like, why did they not mention that?
Yes, because our reviews have consistently been about how much we should just talk more about soccer.
Yeah, people not only do they want more soccer, they want the lower leagues of England.
Yeah.
That's really what the people demand the Cut Forecast. But I'm going to go ahead and say that people don't want to hear about that. But you know what they do want to hear about? Gemma, last week, You took a little trip to Washington, D.C.
I did. I went to our nation's capital.
You went to our nation's capital.
I did.
Did you happen to watch any baseball while you were in our nation's capital?
You know, I did happen to go to a baseball game, come to think of it.
Who was pitching that day?
Surprising. It was Max Scherzer.
Oh, Max Scherzer.
Yes.
Did he do anything good in that game?
Let me think about it for a minute. I witnessed the 20 strikeout game that Max Scherzer pitched. It was amazing. It was a great day all around. Took my picture with Teddy Roosevelt. You know, obviously the perfect way to start a game. Got a Bryce Harper bobblehead.
What was more important to you personally, seeing the 20 strikeouts from Max Scherzer or taking a picture with Teddy Roosevelt?
You know, it's really close. Probably closer than it should be.
Okay.
But I really like Max Scherzer, former Tiger, friend of Cup 4, Max Scherzer.
Mm-hmm.
So that was slightly cooler, but I love the Racing Presidents. I love them so much. And Teddy did not like my shirt. I am from Detroit, as everyone knows, and I wore a lot of Tigers gear. And he tried to cover up all the logos that I had. So that was, you know, that was fun. It was playful.
Who won the President's race?
Abe won.
See, that'll be a good trivia fact, like 50 years ago.
Yeah, who won the President's race at the Max Scherzer's historic 20 strikeout game.
And it was honest Abraham.
Yeah, it was just, but I've never really been at a park where something that immense has happened.
What was it like? So at what point were people aware that something amazing was happening?
People in our section started to talk about it. I mean, we were a pretty chatty section, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, just talking about I brought a friend of mine who actually, it was his first Nats game.
Not a bad first game.
Possibly his, like, second baseball game in his adult life.
Wow.
Like, he used to go a lot as a kid, but doesn't really follow sport now, and then came with me because he lives in D.C. He got so into it. He was all about the sport. But probably around the 15th strikeout, it was like, It came up on the board that it was the 15th, and then suddenly people started to think, like, wait a second.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of time left in this game. Like, this could really keep going, you know? And then every time, then people just kept standing up from from that moment on, just, like, waiting.
That's
with
awesome.
Bated breath. And when he came back out for the ninth, the noise was incredible. Just, like, there was no way to hear yourself think. Everyone was so excited for him to get those last couple strikeouts.
You grew up a Tigers fan. You were there supporting your Tigers memorabilia. Were there other Tigers fans there? How did they react?
There were other Tigers fans there. Not where I was, really. I saw them in the park. I also went to a couple museums during the day, like before the game.
Of course.
And saw a lot of people in Tigers in Tigers gear and, like, talked to them in line for the National Archives or whatever.
What was your favorite thing you saw in a museum?
Well, I went to the American History Museum, which I greatly love. And they had a very cool exhibition on bicycling and, like, how it changed women's fashion and, like, women's basically ability to get around and have all this liberty that they did not have before. So I was really into that at the Smithsonian.
Good.
The president's part was closed, which was sad.
That is sad.
Yes.
Shout out, if you're in D.C., go check that out.
You should go.
You should
go. It's free.
It's free. Well, you're paying for it in your tax dollars.
Right, but I wasn't, so it's super free for me. And
is
I got that, to see
wait,
this awesome
is it not
game.
Federal tax money?
I probably is federal tax money. Money, whatever. Anyway, I don't mind. I loved it. I would pay for that anyway. But
you don't want this to turn into a podcast where we discuss which various things the taxes go to.
If we just talked about the cool things in the museum, that would be fun.
That would be good.
Mostly congratulations that's to our, next year, Eric.
That's our other podcast, is the cool things in the Smithsonian.
And I think that other Tigers fans there, it's like when you, if you were dating someone and you broke up because you just wanted different things, but you still really liked them, and then they, you know, won an Oscar or something, you'd be pumped. You'd be like, good for you. I've always hoped good things would happen in your life, and that's how I felt about
that. You just wish it was while they were with you.
Yeah, that would have been nice, but at the same time, it would have been really nice this year, especially for the Tigers. But at the same time, Max deserves to just be talked about more in general. He's a really good pitcher. I think that a lot of times, you know, because there's so much good pitching the last couple of years, it's not, people don't pay as much attention to him as they should, and I'm really glad that he made his stamp.
Me
like
too.
That.
And I'm glad that you were there to
Me
witness history.
Me too. It was really cool.
But just for a second, Gemma, it's the analogy you use seems like you are only saying you're happy. You know,
No.
Nobody breaks up with someone and is actually happy for them.
No.
It sounds like you're like, it's the polite thing to be happy for them. But really, in my
That's not true at all. That's not true at all. I'm also, but just like in general, I feel that most of my relationships end really amicably. And I just, if someone is cool, they're always going to be cool. They're always going to be a nice and good and kind person. So, I mean, unless something terrible happens, but I doubt, you know.
Right.
Like, it's so, when good things happen to good people, there's nothing to be sad about.
That's good. That is a positive thing. I'm glad you shared that with us. Let's move on from rehashing Gemma's dating life.
Just congratulations, Max Scherzer. It was one analogy.
Let us instead discuss something that I think is probably more important, which is, in the grand scheme of things, frankly, it's more important than a 20 strikeout game.
Is it?
We're really thinking. Yes, it is.
What is it?
Marcus Stroman graduated from Duke University, which is super impressive considering he is also a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah, that's really impressive.
A Major League Baseball player. Duke University, that's a really good school. No matter your feelings about their athletic programs, accomplishments over the years. In
Dakota, as we
negative,
know, is from North Carolina, allegedly.
Allegedly.
And has some feelings
they
about Duke.
They also closed their parapsychology lab, so there's two reasons to be angry at Duke.
Regardless, it is very impressive that Marcus Stroman got his degree. He graduated. You can go to MLB.com/cut4. You can relive the whole thing there. It's pretty cool. There's some photos of him, like, winding up on the outside that famous church on the Duke campus, which is pretty cool. But it's also a sign that it is commencement season. And what do you have at a commencement? You have a commencement speaker. For example, nearby to here, Rutgers University is in New Jersey. And who is their commencement speaker this year? Some former senator named Barack Obama. I don't know who that is, but I heard it was an okay speech. I don't know why they wanted a former senator to give a speech, but whatever. But it raised the question, if you had to pick a current Major League Baseball player to give a commencement address at your school, who would you want it to be? Now, we've talked a little bit about this before in terms of sharing some commencement address speakers who are commencement address speakers. It's never an incorrect time to ponder this question. So, Gemma, which baseball player do you want to give a commencement address this year?
If I was graduating, there are so many players that I think have words of wisdom to impart.
Yeah.
You know, veteran guys have all these stories. They really know what it's like to try to do something. And when you're in college, you think that you're making all these plans, and and when there's such a narrow margin of success in baseball that you kind of want someone who has managed to sustain it to give you words of inspiration for your life. But then sometimes you want to hear from someone who's had to struggle a little bit. So he's not currently a Major League Baseball player, but was until last year. I would like Dan Heron to give a commencement speech. Because his story is not a meteoric rise to success sustained forever and ever, the end. Like, Dan Heron has had many different obstacles to overcome, and I think that talking to someone who isn't just the shining luminary constantly is helpful, you know? And also, he's funny. He's, like, a funny guy. He's really smart. I think he would give a good speech that's engaging and doesn't make you want to, like, walk out at my graduation, my commencement was at Yankee Stadium, and like go buy concessions like during the speech, you know. So yeah, that's my pick. I think it would be Dan Heron, or like, I mean, Kutch would probably be hard to book.
Right.
But I think he would be great at all things.
Or
all
Kutch's
the time,
mom.
Always.
Would be a good.
Kutch's mom would be a really good speaker. But I know also that like Kutch has sometimes like done some guest writing for the Players Tribune. I think that he also has good stories to tell and would be able to impart a wider message other than just like believe in yourself.
That's true.
You know, because I want depth.
He could also be a speech writer for Dan Heron.
Oh, great.
They could collaborate.
What a great team.
Yeah, wouldn't that be a good team?
Oh, at my commencement, we actually had a commencement speaker for my specific school and then one for the larger university.
NYU.
So I know. We have Brian Glazer. And when he came out to speak, everyone yelled Steve Holt.
Nice.
So we could have two. We'll split it. We'll have Dan Heron and then Andrew McCutchen.
And then Kutch. So who's like the big commencement speaker?
Kutch.
Yeah, he's the headliner.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
And also at my commencement, my speaker was Bill Clinton. At the end of it, he got into a helicopter and flew away. And I would like for Kutch to do that both ways.
Oh, the former governor
of Arkansas.
Who's married to that woman who's running
for president.
Who might
be president,
yeah. Okay.
So Kutch would land, would take a helicopter to the commencement, get out, do the speech, get back in the helicopter, and go play baseball.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect plan.
Yeah.
Claire, who do you got?
All right, so mine, you know, I spent hours agonizing over the pick. Because, you know, there is so much you want to do. And the problem is, though, a bad commencement speech, and even good ones will fall into this, they get a little sappy. They get, you know, these were the best years of your life, and now you'll have friends with you forever. And you're like, yeah, like, I know you're lying to me. And there's one player who I know is not going to lie to me, and that's Zach Greinke.
That is true.
That
he
is
will not lie to you.
He's on my list. I want to hear your reasons.
I would like, that's a good one.
So every baseball reporter says that, like, if you go to talk to Zach Greinke, he's basically be like, you know, get to the point, ask me a good question. And then if you do, you get, like, these amazing answers. And my favorite story of Greinke's, you know, he's someone who, like, told the Dodgers, like, who he thought they should draft. Like, he studies the game. And so A.J. Ellis asked him, like, I know you're into, like, being a GM and everything, so if you were the GM of the team, what would you do? And Greinke didn't answer immediately. He, like, took a night to think about it, and the next day he goes to A.J. Ellis and says, I would trade you.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So, like, I know Zach Greinke's not going to go up there and be like, these are the best years of your life, and you are just going to walk out of here with friends that you will hold in your bosom until the day that you enter a new phase of life, which is death. He's going to, like, tell you, he's going to tell jokes, he's going to tell you, like, he's going to tell it like it is. And that's what we need at my commencement speech.
Wow. I like that. It's very realistic. I had Greinke on my list
for similar reasons. Like to hear Zach Greinke give a commencement speech. He also
has kind of an interesting life.
Yeah.
And, like, the fact that he has social anxiety, I think, like, is an interesting thing that I think would add some color to his speech.
He's someone else who also has had to overcome obstacles to get where he is and didn't just, you know, and isn't just going to be, like, positive thinking forever. Like, he was realistic about his life.
Just quickly, Claire, what would be, if you're giving a commencement address, what would be the first sentence of your commencement address?
If I was giving
it? I'm curious now.
The last 4 years of your life have been an expensive wait.
Okay.
No, don't say that.
Okay. Hang on. Claire, what was your degree in?
Listen, I went to Emerson College for creative writing.
Yep, okay.
I love going to college. I love Emerson.
You gotta
stay positive.
Don't tell Stro that his degree was...
Gemma, what would the first line of your commencement address be?
Open an Excel spreadsheet on your phone right now and start planning on how you're gonna pay back your loans.
That's a good one.
Do you even have Excel on phones?
You can.
Anyway.
I'm sure college students definitely. They love Excel.
Yeah, I know. So popular among the youth.
I know. It's like Snapchat, Instagram, Excel. Those are the three things you have to have on you at all times.
Wait, who are your speakers?
So obviously, if you're asking me about who I want to see, I would want somebody who has experience in public speaking, as I've said many times, David Ortiz. But I realize that's a simple answer. And I'm not a simple man. I want to have more interesting characters, which is why I thought of Zach Greinke as Claire said. I thought he'd be really great. I also thought Bryce Harper would be interesting, considering he's so young, but he has, I think, this sort of interesting relationship with baseball, and he has clearly ideas about how the game should be played that are different from, I think, some of the traditions of the game, and I think that's good, and I want to hear what he has to say about, like, that tension. I also think a really good choice, and maybe who I would want, would be Carlos Santana, because he's super creative. He understands the importance of technical precision in the things that you do. I'm sure he's got great stories about Rob Thomas and Woodstock. maybe you'd get a free concert out of it. That would be pretty cool.
This is a terrible joke.
What do you mean? I'm confused. Oh, that's not the same Carlos Santana.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
I can't believe how long this went
on. I can't believe I wrote that down.
What a stunning mistake.
You know what?
Give Dakota a break. He is very smooth.
Thank you, Claire. God. Thank you for your terrible pun taking the heat off of my bad joke.
Miserable. Wait, what's the first sentence of your commencement
I'm not
address?
Done yet. Who I want to give my speech.
Still talking to you about, are you still going to talk about Carlos?
No, I'm talking about somebody else. That was
okay.
A joke.
Okay.
The person who I actually want to give my commencement speech is somebody who does understand adversity and who's the completion of their story, unlike Dan Heron, their story's not over yet in Major League Baseball, and that is Tim Lincecum. Because here is somebody who sort of bucked the trend of, that's maybe not the right word. I guess he came into the game with mechanics that everybody said were unorthodox and would ultimately tear down his arm. And for 5-6 years, he just blew the lights out of every stadium that he pitched in and was fantastic. And then eventually everyone was like, oh no, clearly that's conventional wisdom gone wrong. And then his arm did fall apart.
Uh-huh.
And potentially the conventional wisdom was right, and now he's spent the past year trying to rebuild his throwing motion and get back into the game, and he obviously feels very positively about it now, and we don't know the conclusion of the Tim Lincecum story. We don't know if he's going to come back, be amazing, and win 5 Cy Youngs, or if he's done completely.
Right.
And so that's why I feel like it'd be interesting to hear his perspective. He's also a thoughtful guy.
Yeah.
And I think it would be interesting to hear his take on overcoming adversity, on how what happens to you is not necessarily something that you are helpless to affect. That even if you think you maybe didn't get, that you maybe got some unlucky breaks, that it's still in your possibilities and your control to try fix it. I think that would be an interesting speech. From
now, would he give the speech as Tim Lincecum, or would he be dressed up in some kind of disguise that he has, you know, occasionally?
Like he's an old manager of some kind. No, I think it would be big time Timmy Jim himself.
All right.
That would be my theory on that. The first sentence of my commencement speech would probably be, thank God that's over. No more homework, right, guys?
Okay, so you would do the commencement speech as that character from Wet Hot American Summer when
the
talent show.
Real talk. I was not the greatest student in the world, even though I was a theater major. I was still not great at that. And now that I'm an adult, the best part of being an adult is that there is no homework. That's not a thing that exists. I just have like my job, which is great. And I don't have to do stuff that I feel like is unimportant. This is probably sharing more about me
Dakota
than I really
Dakota has a lot of
really
feelings about
share.
Adult life, you guys.
It's
Hire
great.
Him to give your commencement speech at your college.
Being an adult is great, and it's way better than being a college student.
I would rather do homework than be like, oh, I'm eating quinoa with steamed broccoli tonight. I
no
never
one's
thought
forcing
about that
you.
When I was 18.
No one is forcing you to eat quinoa.
You don't have to eat any of that.
Okay.
Tom Brady. What's going on in there?
Let's move on. Let's leave Mr. Brady out of this. Did you hear about this, Gemma? I bet you did.
What?
Since you wrote the post about it.
What is it?
The Savannah Bananas, who are a collegiate summer league team.
They are a collegiate summer league team.
They found a puppy in their stadium, and when nobody came to claim it, they adopted said puppy as their own. What is the puppy's name? Do you remember?
Her name is Daisy.
Daisy. Well, Daisy, welcome to the Savannah Bananas. A great name for a team, certainly.
Yes.
But here's the question. That dog is what? It's a bat dog, I think.
Well, she's a puppy, and they're not really sure what kind of mix she is, so they don't know how big she's gonna get. So she might be a bat dog or a ball dog. It depends on how big she grows up to be.
Okay. Well, so the question is, yes, what other jobs at ballparks do you think animals should take? Now, we're not advocating decreasing the labor force. I just want to throw that out there. We are very pro jobs here on the Cut 4 Cats. But if an animal could do one of those jobs, that would also be pretty cool.
We are also pro more cute animals in all locations.
We are. Claire.
Yes.
Which job at a ballpark do you think an animal should take?
Okay, so, again, I thought about this one. Anteaters is a cleanup crew, fine. Bears manning a seafood station where they are literally scooping up fish from a lazy river. But the only answer is owner, and it could be a cat. And if anyone has seen the 1950s classic film Rhubarb about a cat that inherits a baseball team, they go winning streak once the cat takes over the team. I believe it's either the Cardinals or the Browns. I think it's one of the St. Louis teams. They go on this like great winning streak, and because films can't lie to us and face it, art reveals greater truth about ourselves and society than we could ever dream of. It's just proof that yes, cats should own baseball teams and you'll win games.
I think that's frankly, I think that's something that's impossible to disprove.
Yeah, agreed. Until, you know, someone gives a cat a chance.
I think what you've stumbled on a universal truth there, Claire.
Yeah.
Well, just look at front offices. For so long, it was like you had to be a former player. You know, you had to go through the grind. And I was like, wait a second, guys. These math geeks, they know something. They've got spreadsheets. They can do this.
They have Excel on their phones.
Animals already can predict, like, earthquakes. And if you, like, believe in ghosts, and you see, like, your cat perk up and, like, you're like, oh, there might be a ghost in my closet because it's looking at something. Who's to say a cat can't, like, see a 15th round draft pick that's a future Hall of Famer? Foolproof.
I love it. I love this idea.
This is a great idea. This is a great plan.
I'm going to go next because mine is similar to that.
Oh, and
I want to dovetail off what Claire said. You know how, like, at stadiums, there's, like, the person on the Jumbotron telling you, like, hey, check out the cool hat that we have in the store. And, like, comes – that person should be a cat. It should be a cat stadium host. What do people like? They like Jumbotrons. They like, you know, in-game contests. They also like cats. So let's combine all of that together.
So like, when DJ Kitty comes on, but not the mascot one, but, like, the actual cat.
Right, like a cat.
Yeah.
That just, like, runs around the stadium, and they can hold a mic up to it, and it won't talk because it's a cat. I would like that very much.
It's like when Lemon, remember Lemon, the dog that they interviewed on the Marlins broadcast one time and just growled into the mic? That was great.
It would be exactly like that, only the cat wouldn't be as enthused about the whole thing because it's a cat.
Yeah.
And it would feel a little put upon that we're asking it to host the entire event. But I think that would be great, and I think it would be even better if there was a cat owner, because then the cat, like, maybe the cat does something and gets in trouble and has to go to the cat owner's office. Wouldn't that be fun? I like that.
You guys, you love cats so much.
I do. My original thing was that I was going to say...
cat people.
Well, my original thing was that I was going to say you could just replace all the Cut 4 writers with chimpanzees, but that seemed unkind.
That's rude.
Yeah. Well, what do you have, Gemma?
Well, I also, you know, had some thoughts about maybe goats. They could chew the grass down to an acceptable length.
Oh, that's good.
You know, something fun like that. But goats are kind of frightening, and their pupils are rectangular, and I don't like that. I find it unnerving.
Wait, their pupils are rectangular?
Yes.
That's just a fact?
It's, I mean, probably not all goats, but a lot of goats have this.
Okay.
It's weird.
That's fact time with
it's fact
Gemma Kaneko.
It's basically why I'm saying that I'm kind of frightened of goats, okay? It's
just
what is the case. So I thought that maybe, and, you know, bat dogs are good, more bat dogs all the time. Just like maybe it's cute when the puppies hang out in the dugout. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking, like, what is something that's really annoying when you go to a baseball game? When maybe it's like, for me, when you're sitting in the middle of a row and you have to keep getting up and making everyone move, or when other people keep getting up and making you move to get food or snacks or whatever. So I thought, why not try to solve that problem with something that's already at ballparks.
I like where this is going.
A bunch of birds.
Okay.
So there are a lot of birds at the ballpark. So why not train some of those birds to fly over the sections and give you little food packages? Just drop them like messenger pigeons.
I worry
that the birds would eat the food.
That's one worry. The other is that the things that they drop may not be food.
Well, sure. There's some consequence. There's, you know, there's some degree of risk inherent in this scenario. So birds are already there, but birds are also sort of a menace occasionally when they try to take over the park. And so I thought, what's cuter than birds? Because, you know, birds aren't
scary.
Birds are kind of scary. But, however, their eyes look slightly more normal than goats.
They do.
Have you never seen Birdemic, Gemma? That's a very scary idea that you just gave. Give these birds power, and who knows when it will end.
Wait, so, like, what do you mean when it will end? They'll ascend to the highest office in the land and, like,
bird kingdom?
Birds they give possibility, and they're like, hold on a second, why are we listening to these schmoes? We can take to the air. We have aerial dominance and sharp, like, nose things that can hurt.
Well, he's right about
this. It would lead to anarchy.
Well, this is why I decided ultimately not to go with birds to bring us things.
I just want to say one other thing that's important to note is that as esteemed paleontologist Dr. Alan Grant pointed out, velociraptors eventually became birds, and giving them these powers seems like we're playing with
So wait, fire. They're going to regress and become velociraptors
again? I'm just saying, it's somewhere
anyway,
there.
I ultimately was like, okay, birds are kind of scary, so we're not going to have bring us things. So I decided, what else is cute? What else do I like?
Cats?
Lemurs.
Oh, okay.
They can have little hands. They can hold. They can climb on the back of the seats and bring us little snacks.
So you have, like, a lemur waiter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. I think it would be cute and less frightening than birds.
That would definitely be but go ahead, Claire.
aren't lemurs poisonous? Aren't their hands, like, poisonous or something?
Are they?
I'm learning so much about the animal kingdom now.
That sounds horrifying. I might have to discount all my plans and just deal with the frightening goat eyes and just have that.
Yeah, I think that, or just let the cats take over, like Claire and I are suggesting.
I guess. I like cats, but...
But what?
I feel like cats would be bad waiters.
Oh, they'd be terrible waiters. But that's fun, though. That's fun, too, right? Because then you could complain about your cat waiter.
What if we just gave all, we just got a bunch of Roombas, and then the cats could sit on the Roombas and with the hot dogs.
You know I'm very much pro Roomba.
Yes.
All right, well, let's move on here. Or else cats are going to come take our jobs.
Or birds.
That would be terrible.
It'll be
or birds.
Awful. The lemurs will poison us.
The Cut 4 cat.
It is the Cut 4 cat.
Here's a question. Gemma, you asked me this earlier, and I don't have an answer, so I'm going to ask you now.
Okay.
If you had to get an MLB tattoo, like you had to get one, and it had to be baseball related, and legally, they passed a new law through Congress, the president signed it, Supreme Court vetted it. I guess there was a lawsuit this happened several years ago.
All right, okay, this sounds really plausible.
And the law said that every single human being in the United States of America has to have a baseball-themed tattoo.
Okay.
What would yours be?
I want to pick something Tigers related, but I'm not going to.
Okay.
You know what I'm going to say. It's going to be a silhouette of Ichiro's batting stance.
Good.
Because I think it's really iconic, and people would know what it was, and I wouldn't have to be like a full-color portrait for you to understand,
okay,
you know, that it was Ichiro.
I like it.
Yeah.
Claire, what about you?
My baseball tattoo?
Yeah.
I'm getting a baseball tattoo?
Yeah.
In 3 weeks. I'm getting a pitcher with a motion similar to Sandy Koufax with a uniform slightly baggier and a skeleton.
Are you threatening Sandy Koufax?
That's awesome.
The motion just, it's such like a perfect way his leg picks up and like he shows off like the
So it's not, it's this isn't a threat.
it's just that you like him and you want
I just wanted to be clear
tribute.
About that.
Right, and I just need a skeleton to be part of it, and so
because you like spooky things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What would yours be? Did you decide now, Dakota?
Yes, I did.
What did I decide?
It would be probably small and on my arm, and it would be a similar. It would be a batting silhouette.
Uh-huh.
After David Ortiz crushes a home run It would be that like pose he makes when he hit the home run.
You wouldn't do the fingers in the air?
Yeah, I wouldn't do the fingers in the air. I want him hitting the home run. It's specifically, I would want it to be the home run from the 2013 ALCS. It was a grand slam in game two.
I can't believe you wouldn't get something from 2004. You would only get that to basically troll me.
You're the one who wrote this law and submitted it to Congress. So,
well, then I'm putting in a rider that mandates you actually have to get David Ortiz's head tattooed onto the back of your own head. Like Quirrell and Voldemort. That's the rider.
I don't want that.
That's just
happen.
What it is.
I'm in committee. I'm going to hold that in committee and try to get an acclimation amendment. This podcast has
wonk
turned
talk.
Into civics.
Yeah. Policy wonk. Coda Gardner.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a question. Mariners fan this weekend attempted to catch a baseball in an apple pie.
Pretty much the most American thing that's ever happened.
I think it was.
The only thing that could have been more American was if an eagle had flown by right after and
maybe the eagle dropped the baseball
probably
from the
did.
Sky.
Probably
that would be my guess
that probably
of what happened.
Yeah.
And that eagle was set forth by somebody in a George Washington costume.
Yes.
But here's the question. Is the apple pie truly the best food item to catch a baseball with? I don't know. Let's find out. Claire, what do you think is the best food item that you would use
right.
to catch a baseball?
So, I went through a lot of ideas. Off the top of my head, I was like, those giant helmets with nachos. But you have to realize the nachos are crispy. So what's going to happen is not only is the ball going to fly in, and the crispiness is not going to have a lot of give, meaning the ball is going to bounce out, but there's going to be nacho chip shrapnel that is so sharp
yes.
and it could cut your face.
You're so right. I also considered this option. And the cheese, like the cheese spraying everywhere really
yeah.
discounted it for me.
Yeah. Ice cream, it's too slick. That ball is going to slide out and someone else is going to get it while you're blinded by melted ice cream in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
So the only answer, and this doesn't work at every ballpark, it is a giant hamburger, because already the giant hamburger is like leather, so it's similar to a glove. So the Nationals still have like the Strasburger, which is like that 10-pound burger, or any of the like sort of comical meat items that teams have. You just have that in your hand, and it will work to both slow down the ball with the delectable ground meat, but it will also act as a glove, allowing you to, like, capture it inside of it.
I like that. That's smart, coming up with something that can be used as a glove.
Yes.
It has similar properties to
a glove.
That
I also like the classification for food, comical meat item.
Yep.
I think that should just be on menus. Just like, here are comical meat items.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the name of my autobiography. Gemma, what is your food item?
Well, I also thought about things that I would try to use to catch a ball. Like, obviously, an apple pie was not a great choice, especially with that kind of pie pan because it was too shallow.
Also, you
right?
probably wouldn't just have an apple pie with you at
all. Maybe
a
you wouldn't. Okay.
Fair enough. I need to go to more games with you, clearly.
But I also thought nachos. I thought, like, anything that's bowl-shaped would be good.
Yeah.
But there are all sorts of things that beer cups have been pretty successful, but I want to be impressed. Like when I see someone catch a foul ball, I want it to be, or a home run or whatever, I want it to be kind of a good catch. And I want it to personally delight me. So I thought, all these teams now have these chicken and waffle cones. It's cone shaped, and there's mashed potatoes in it and gravy that's kind of sticky. So if you could angle it right and try to like scoop catch, then all of the
like Hi-Li.
Yeah. Yes. Like Hi-Li. Then the mashed potatoes would help the ball adhere to the inside of the cone, and then you would just have it, and then no one would try to take it from you because it'd be covered in food.
I think it would shatter, probably.
Yeah, I'm basically assuming that this cone is actually not edible
it's
at
titanium.
All. It's like set in
the
concrete
most delicious
waffle cone.
Metal.
But even if like there was cone shrapnel, and I'm just picturing it like it breaks everywhere and it's just stuck on the mashed potatoes. Yes.
Yeah,
good sound.
Good.
That's
like
that would delight me personally, so I want it to happen.
I like that.
Yes.
And everybody would be showered in a delicious foam of mashed potatoes.
And waffles. Yeah.
Which, that's better than the alternative.
Who doesn't want that?
I will say my only real opinion here is please don't ever attempt this with something sticky like ice cream or a beer. Because picture you have your little mini helmet of ice cream and you're like, I got this, and it, your thing lands into it, and like, it explodes ice cream everywhere.
Yeah.
That sounds really unpleasant both for you and everyone sitting around you, and all the people sitting around you are gonna be like, hey, bozo, just put the ice cream down and catch the ball, and then I don't have to go buy a new shirt. That has never happened to me, but that is what I would say.
It really does sound like it did happen to you.
I think the best receptacle for a baseball is the bucket of popcorn that you can buy.
Oh, that's really, I don't know why I didn't even think of that, because it's huge.
It's huge.
Yes.
The kernels will break when the ball hits them, but not in such a way that it explodes everywhere. It's sort of like when like a stuntman jumps off a building into a pile of boxes. Like, that's kind of how I'm picturing this working. Two seasons ago, we did a feature on MLB.com/cut4 called the Fan Catch Hall of Fame. And one of the winners of the Fan Catch Hall of Fame was a Pirates fan who made this very catch with the ball flying into his popcorn, and the popcorn shot up all over him, but it didn't get everywhere until he then celebrated by throwing the popcorn in the air.
Yes.
Obviously.
But and that's really smart, because there's going to be some degree of, like, the ball's going to bounce, but the popcorn bucket is so deep.
Right.
Yeah.
It'll keep it in there.
That's smart.
And you can also cushion it a little bit. And if the popcorn does go everywhere, everyone's showered with delicious popcorn.
And it's not sticky.
And it's not sticky.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
I think that's the perfect answer.
I think that's pretty good.
That works, yeah.
Right.
That makes a lot of sense. And you don't have meat juices running down your arm then.
You don't. So. You don't. That's always a positive in life. Guys, we're out of time.
Oh,
I know. But you know what that means? It means it's time to sum up the podcast in 140 characters. One tweet that accurately condenses the podcast into one travel-sized bit perfectly suited for Twitter. Or Excel, if that's your preferred social media platform. Claire, why don't you hit us first with your tweet? Don't literally hit us, please.
Through the phone.
So the tweet, I think this one is really going to go viral. You know, I think just the retweets are going to come rolling in. Zach Greinke's going to tell you fresh-faced graduates that the slow loris and lemur poisonous, and then there's going to be an hashtag cut forecast, and then there's going to be an image from this article that says their bite is so painful and agonizing that they can create extreme allergic reactions up to anaphylactic shock, followed by hematuria, which is a reaction to the allergen, their elbows play an important part as a lethal weapon in their defense mechanism.
So, I'm blocking you. That is my response to this tweet.
I stopped listening after a certain point, but I did take away that I would like for Zach Greinke to narrate some kind of nature documentary.
That'd be great.
That would really be delightful.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Gemma, what's your tweet?
My tweet is going to be, let all-around good guy Max Scherzer give a commencement speech at your school, or cat, hashtag cut4cat.
Yeah, that's a good one. I would retweet that. Mine... Tim Lincecum is back, and he has some advice. Practice your fielding if you want to win a gold popcorn bucket. Hashtag cut4cat.
That was so suspenseful.
I had to think of the advice that Sir Tim Lincecum would be sharing with us.
Is he a knight?
He is a knight. Now he is. If you're listening, if you're a knight, or if you're not a knight.
So Didi Gregorius, if you're listening.
Yeah, Didi. Well, Didi does listen. But if you're not Didi and still a member of the royal family or anything along those lines, or if you aren't, please tweet us at Cut4 with the hashtag Cut4Cast and include your summary in 140 characters of the Cut4Cast. We will retweet it. We'll favorite it. We'll do whatever. Since Claire has set up the baseline of the worst possible tweet, anything you send in will just be gravy, but don't get the gravy on you via a fan catch.
Listen, I just want to protect the people. The information that you guys gave was going to lead people to going into anaphylactic shock, and they're like, this lemur would be great at the ballpark. I'm sorry that I'm speaking after our listeners, all right?
Yeah, the safeties are over there. You can also go to MLB.com/cut4. You can read all of the varied posts that we have written for you and will continue to write for you. You can follow us on Twitter at cut4. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/cut4. Hey, this is a podcast. You know that. You're listening to it right now. But did you know that you could subscribe to it on iTunes? you probably did know that since you're listening to it right now, but did you also know that you could write a review and leave us a rating? And if you actually take time to write the review, we will read it on this Cut 4 cast. That is true, and we are eager to hear it. And if you have anything else you want to tell us, yell at us, whatever, tweet us at Cut 4 with the hashtag Cut 4 cast. Gemma, as always, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Claire, thank you for joining us all the way from Los Angeles, the City of Angels.
Ah, oh, guys, this was great, even as my name has been torn apart despite great tweeted.
Blah, blah, blah. But mostly, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.